This is a Wild Games Production podcast.
You remember.
Roll your stealth roll?
Game books, pencils, pizza, cheese puffs, and a hell of a lot of dice.
And the dragon woke up.
Roll for initiative.
This is the Roll for Initiative podcast, where 1E is the place to be.
The Roll for Initiative podcast. We're in volume number 9. This is issue number 213. I'm Vince, sitting with Nick.
Hello, everybody.
We are here live. Well, we're not really live. We're recorded, but we're here for another episode of the Dungeons & Dragons cartoon. Yay. Mm-hmm.
Indeed.
We did get an email during the interim about the 911 question that I had proposed. Why would you need a dime for 911? And Joe D. did write in saying much of the country did not have 911 in 1983. He said he was 53 and he remembers that the plastic disc in the middle of the rotary phone had a place to put the local police and fire department and ambulance number, and then you would have to actually put... and then when you push the button, the phone came along. Oh, no, when the push button phone came along, they had a place for it on the phone. I checked, and in 1987, right, only 50% of the country was covered by 911. Not sure, but I think you were able to dial the operator to connect to the police if you were not in a hurry, and you would need to explain why you need to make a free phone call. So, thank you, Joe. Apparently, we were wrong. So, well, I was wrong. I'll admit it.
Well, yeah. And I do remember that, yeah, after he mentioned it, I'm like, oh, yeah. And even, like, yeah, you said, when they went to digital phones.
Yep.
There was the placard on top that says, like, for emergencies, call blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for fire or police or whatever it was.
Absolutely. Now that he says that, I remember the little plastic disc in the middle that said police and fire. And I was just like, ah, crap.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So Eric was right again in the cartoon. So
thank you, Eric.
Yeah. All right, let's jump into this episode, number 13. This was the final episode of Season 1 officially. So it kind of didn't... Well, this was a Saturday morning cartoon. So a lot of the Saturday morning cartoons, right, followed the format of, 13 episodes and then moved on to a new season or the show got canceled. Right. So the D&D cartoon went to 13 and then moved forward to Season 2. Even though they really didn't have much of a break, it just kind of went straight through to the holidays, and then they just continued along to the next year, would keep going with episodes. They never really took a break. So this episode we're doing here, 13, and then 14, which Nick will be doing afterwards, is just straight the next week. They didn't take any breaks at all. So this one was aired on December 10th, 1983. So we're getting closer to Christmas. Yay.
Right.
And this was one that was written by Jeffrey Scott. IMDb rates it 7.5 out of 10.
Mm.
All right. So we jump right into the episode with the kids being chased by a stegosaurus and cracking jokes along the way and trying, yes, to run away from this thing. And I'd like press those things. If I ran any faster, my legs would run out from under me. And that made me laugh.
And it's a big stegosaurus.
Yeah, dude, it's huge. It's like a Jurassic Park monster. I want to ask one question.
It's a tremendous stegosaurus. They got to build a wall around it.
Stop it. we never find out why the stegosaurus is chasing them. And from my...
It's the realms. What else do you need to know?
But stegosauruses are herbivores, aren't they? I mean, they're not, yes, carnivores. So why is this thing trying to eat them?
According to paleontological evidence, the stegosaurus was a herbivore.
Exactly. So we don't know why this thing is chasing them. Oh, then it's just a cool monster to throw it. Because, you know, maybe we're kids and we like dinosaurs. What kid doesn't like a dinosaur, right?
Of course. I mean, I'm seeing this on TV with my first bowl of cereal. I'm like, yeah.
And I'm sure you watched that cartoon Dinosaurs or whatever it was called.
Dinosaurs?
Yes.
Don't even know what you're talking about.
It was around the same time frame too. Okay, well, another time. So, and of course, as usual with a running scene, someone has to fall. And guess who it is? The one with four legs, Uni. Klutz.
Uni, of course. Yeah.
Ass. Hank makes a notion that they should probably fight it, but Eric says, "Are you nuts? Personally, I have no desire to be peeled off that thing's foot like a piece of chewing gum."
Yeah.
So once they figure out it was pointless, they book and run inside of a cave, and the whole, you know, oh, the thing's too big to fit in the cave, and it tries to get its face in there, and it's snapping at them.
Yep. Yeah,
whatever. And at this point, they're like, ah. Sheila breathes a sigh of relief and happy about that they were not the main course for once. But, of course, in the realms, nowhere is ever safe. Is it, Nick?
No, never. Because what's waiting for them?
A bunch of orcs. I should say.
Yes, orcs.
The group,
pig-faced ones, nonetheless.
Pig-faced orcs, which I'll bring that up in just a second. Of course, his group is outmaneuvered and easily captured. These are the worst adventurers when it comes to low-level monsters I've ever seen in my life. They get captured faster than you can blink an eye.
I know. They're terrible.
One of them grabs Uni up, and to my delight, and holds him, her, excuse me, and says, "Unicorn stew. Mmm." Think that tastes any, do you think that tastes any good? I don't know.
Sure.
Tastes like chicken?
No, I don't think so.
By the way, purple cape? What the heck was up with that? Did you see him? He had a purple cape on.
Oh, yeah.
I just thought it looked weird.
Well, maybe he's, like, special. Maybe his mommy made it for him.
Was that... Yeah, I guess it was just determined the guy who spoke. I have no idea, because there was no real leader there, but... So Bobby threatens to make bacon out of the orcs. So, haha, orcs are pigs. Bobby proved it right there. Will would be super happy right now if you heard that. Then the orcs start to threaten to put the kids in a lava pit, which I didn't even notice was there at the beginning, but I guess they wrote it in. And I don't know.
Yes. Suddenly a wild lava pit appears.
Yeah, I was just like, ooh. And Presto is the only one who's not captured, which I don't understand how, but I guess being the magic user, he probably was just hiding in the back, and usually...
Maybe they knew it's Presto. He's like, he's mostly harmless, so...
After some debating and going back and forth, Presto decides, magic time! Pulls off his hat, and he says, Hocus Delirium, Pocus Infernium, send me a spell to get us out of Herium. And tiny tubes of wind or whatever come out of his hat, and it hits the ground and starts to grow. And the orc that's standing in front of him is like, "Rrr!" And he just like kind of runs.
And it like turns into a tornado.
Yeah, I was thinking it was an air elemental at first, but obviously it was just a tornado. Whatever. Mm-hmm. The party starts backing into the corner, in which Hank tells Presto, "Turn it off!" Just look like he could do anything, right?
Yeah, it's Presto.
Yeah. The tornado, I was calling it a tornado elemental at this point, covers the entire party. After a few minutes, it dissipates, and all we see is Presto and Uni left, and me going, this means...
Did it work or did it not work? Because the orcs disappeared, but I guess it didn't work.
Well, for the plot of the cartoon, it worked because of what he has to go through, so yeah, it worked. We'll give him a credit for that one.
All right. The count is now officially up to 20.
And as Presto's looking around, wondering what's going on, he noticed that the group is missing, and Uni is wearing his hat.
Yeah, that's dangerous.
Well, as we see later on, apparently Uni knows how to use the hat better than he does.
Which is like the dumbest thing ever in this episode.
I know.
Whole series.
Well, you're probably right. We'll get to that in a moment. Presto gets all depressed, thinking he probably sent his friends home. I guess maybe he was thinking of a Wizard of Oz reference there at that point because of the tornado.
Maybe.
I don't know. That's what I was thinking when he was kind of depressed, going, oh, maybe they got sent home. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Uni just saying, I'm like, great. It's going to be him talking to the stupid unicorn. Anyway, we cut to now the storm, the tornado, fading away, and the group standing in the forest. Eric cowering behind his shield.
Of course.
Yeah. And Eric Bobby.
Eric.
Yeah, Eric being Eric at this point. And Bobby says, hey, the orcs are gone. With Hank saying, the orcs aren't gone, we are. Genius.
Wow, that's why he's the ranger.
Well, yeah, he's brilliant. As the group tries to figure out where they are at this point, because they don't know where the heck they are.
Mm-hmm.
Then we start hearing some weird, like, monster noises, as if, like...
And they start running away.
They start running as Eric is bashing Presto, but then realizes Presto's not there. He's like, hey, where is Presto?
Where is Presto?
And then Bobby notices that stupid Uni's gone too, but whatever. Eric's one of Eric's most... Eric had a lot of really good lines in this episode, which had me laughing. But his was, huh, Presto must be taking disappearing lessons from Dungeon Master again. I'm just like,
fuck. Yeah.
The weird noise happens again, and you see, like, the bushes move back and forth. Like, it kind of looked like a scene from Lost with the smoke monster about to come out. I don't know if you've seen Lost. Yes.
Okay, yeah.
No,
yeah.
No. Okay. The group runs and hits a wall. Yep.
Literally.
A wall. Did you notice that when they hit the wall, that it actually looked like an invisible brick wall at first? Or did you not notice? It was like a real quick split.
I don't know if that was like, I think that's what's outside of the there, because you see what's outside.
Right.
That's a different wall, I think.
The group deduces it's probably a spell, or Hank says it's a force field.
A force field.
And Eric blames Presto.
Because that's what Eric does.
It's funny. Cut back to the cave where we see Presto and Uni leaving, and then DM shows up as Presto pretty much trips over Uni and falls over Uni like an idiot, saying, "What have I done?" And the DM says, "And this is such
too
a line
much twiddle.
Of yeah, this is such a line of bullcrap that it's just even he realizes it." But he says, "Your spell was a good one, but you put too much twiddle on it," in which.
There's a lot of ways you could take that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not going to go there.
In which he tells Presto he zapped the group off to a faraway land where there's enormous danger. And I said to myself, so he just zapped them across the friggin' forest. They're always in enormous danger.
They're always in danger, so... Okay.
Then Presto asked how he can twiddle them back. Because at this point, he's just like, you know, dude, you're BSing me with this crap.
Is this bad use of the word twiddle in this case?
Yeah, wait till it gets further on, and then bad usage. I'm surprised got past the censors. But, anyway.
Yeah.
DM says, well, only by climbing to new heights of courage can you help your companions. It's quest time! Yay!
Yay!
He says, you can do that by meeting three strangers and lose something very important to you. So, I was sitting there, thinking, what's really that important to Presto at this point? His glasses? His hat? Uni? Probably not.
No.
His friends? Okay. The hat, the glasses, and his friends are probably the most important thing, because he's very loyal to his friends. Except for the time when he was going to leave them to be Presto, Merlin's
apprentice to Merlin.
Yeah, that was the only time he wasn't loyal, but whatever. But as Presto is debating on what to do, he looks up, looks down, the Dungeon Master's gone.
Because that's what DM does.
Because DM's a dick. We've already decided that.
Yes.
We now cut back to the kids being attacked by the creature that, if you notice, is from the Servant of Evil episode that we never figured out what it was.
I thought it was a Zill because it looks almost exactly like one, but I don't know because it's called something else here.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second, but
yeah,
it's the same creature from that episode, though.
It is.
Yeah,
it is. I got the impression that this episode is, and right from this point on, in my opinion, it was like last episode of the season. They knew that when they were drawing all this stuff, they were running out of ideas.
Oh, yeah, probably. Yeah, last episode of the season, of course.
Yeah.
Maybe they didn't know they were getting season two. Who knows?
Possibly.
But the group flusters around a bit, wondering what to do, until Diana makes mention of the wall being like glass. Hank says, wait, if it feels like glass, it might be glass. I love how he says it, too. Bobby
he's a blonde.
Yeah. Bobby then slams his club into the wall, shattering it. The group jumps out of the hole in the wall onto a table where everything is really giant. Are we starting to see something coming together here?
Yeah, that's where I said somebody, you know, saw a fairy tale book on the table at the animation studio and says, okay, we need ideas. Ooh, pick from that.
Yeah. And then as they're running away because they hear a noise because of the creatures coming after them, they run and Eric trips over a giant fork. And this is where it gets so funny that I couldn't stop laughing. Yeah, and says, what type of jerk? There's a giant fork laying around. And Diana points up and says, a giant jerk, Eric, look. And the camera cuts to this big hairy giant who says, yeah, a giant jerk who eats little jerks like you for breakfast, Eric.
I love the giant because he sounds like he's from New York.
I know. What's with the bad New York accents of these? Later on, the guy in the inn is like a New York or Brooklyn guy, too. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah, it's a guy like you, Eric.
The giant captures the group and then basically this exchange is so stupid that it made me laugh. He puts them in his one hand and Eric goes, "Ow, watch out, you big dope." And the giant comes back with, "You sure have a big mouth for someone with a small head." And then Eric comes back with, "Well, yeah, you sure have a small brain for such a giant head."
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, the ball's on Eric, man. He's really showed a pair this episode.
Yeah.
And even Diana was like, whoa, looking at him like
dude.
And then Hank does what Hank does best, shoot first, ask questions later.
Right.
But he, like, completely misses the giant. The giant's, like, what, 60 feet, not even in front of him, and the arrow goes directly over the guy's head?
They're in his hand. You know, they're all in his hand.
It's like,
you can't miss. Warning shot?
Nah, I don't know. Diana says, "Well, you tried." Then the giant mentions something about the group, saying, "Well, you know, you probably just want to steal my golden egg." And then Eric, who says, "Eggs, schmegs, we don't want your eggs. We don't even want your chicken. We just want to get out of here." The giant then screams at them to shut up, and he says, "Besides, I don't even have a chicken, just a slime beast here named Willy." And then we see that creature again.
"Here's my slime beast named Willy.
Yeah.
I'm going to give him to you."
Willy.
Willy.
So, still, I don't know what creature this is, but I think it was just made up for this episode and the previous episode, and they were just like, we have this art already.
I know. To me, it looked like the Zill from Fiend Folio, but it's a sly beast named Willy.
So, at this point, what type of giant do you think this is? Without referencing the rest of the episode, which we know ahead of time because we already watched it. What type of giant did you think this was?
God, definitely not a hill giant.
No.
You know, if I was to make a guess, again, I got to go to the Fiend Folio. Maybe he's a mountain giant?
Yeah, I was thinking that. Because he was really hairy, like beyond hairy. And I was just like,
incredibly tall.
Yeah. But we find out later on he's a cloud giant, so... I don't know.
We do?
Well, we don't officially find it out, but we can assume since he's up in the clouds, he's a cloud. Yeah? No?
Yeah, but, well, I didn't really catch that as...
You didn't, I don't know, I put that together when they climbed the whole tree thing.
I guess he could be.
I mean, logically he would be a cloud giant, wouldn't he? I don't know.
But it's like way off proportion what a cloud giant could be. I mean, it's obviously... I mean, I'm sure we're splitting hairs here, but what? How tall is my giant?
We'll go on. So then the giant shows the little slime beast on his hand like a bird, and Sheila's mumbles, "That's his parakeet. He'd like to see his dog." The giant's like, "You know what? Let's play a game. We're called hide and eat. It's simple. You all go hide, and Willie will come find you." And Eric's like, "Oh, that's not so bad.
That's all bad.
If Willie finds you, he gets to eat you."
If Willie finds you, he gets to eat you, see?
Yeah. He's like a New Yorker / gangster at this point.
Go Yankees. This is how I picture Yankees fans.
Yep. Hey. That's rude to the New York Yankee fans. We apologize for Nick's actions out there. The group runs as the giant lets them go for this game. They head towards a door, and they all go under it, but Eric gets caught going, "He's going to eat me! He's going to eat me!"
"I'm going to die!"
And Hank pulls him through the door to the other side with the rest of the group, and he's like, "What took you so long?" Hank pretty much loses it at this point. "Shut up! Let's run and get out of here before that thing finds a way around."
And Willie's like trying to claw his way from under and all that.
He's like a little cat trying to claw them from under the door. So we cut back to Presto wandering around town. We know we haven't actually seen a town in a while.
That's true.
Yeah. And everyone appears to be, like, asleep in the streets. Did you notice that?
Yes.
I was like, what the hell? Why is everybody sleeping? Is it, like, a magical spell?
Because it's night?
Is it?
They're drunk?
I don't know. It's like always night there, so it's hard to tell half the time.
Right.
I don't know. They walk towards an inn, and we see this, like, really fuzzball-like creature being thrown out. No idea what that was. Do you?
It looks like, well, let me see here. Well, you have the orc leaving the tavern.
Well, yeah, the orc walks right past
them. He's like, eh. Like he either belched or passed gas or one of the two. He's like, I feel so much better.
Or he just got his orc on.
This hairy thing is like...
I have no idea what that was. Well,
it looks like a little... like it's a Sasquatch.
Okay, we'll go with the Sasquatch, fine. But when the fuzzball gets...
for Jack's Lynx.
We'll call him Fuzzball for this point, time point.
Yeah. Meanwhile, in Mos Eisley Cantina.
Anyway, the fuzzball goes out, and Uni jumps through the window with a scream. Nick?
Yes.
And then Presto's like, hey, what? Hey, Uni's gone. He pretty much is like, where the heck? And then he peers through the window and sees Uni on a table. How the hell did Uni get across the room that quickly onto the table?
Remember, he could teleport.
I don't think... At the table is a three-headed... It's a three-headed...
You don't want to give Uni that much credit, Dave.
No, Uni's dumb. At the table, there's a three-headed ogre. Well, I'm calling it an ogre. It looks like an ogre to me.
It's a three-headed ogre. I'll go with that.
It's sitting there with three skulls on the table, and it says, oh, it's a rare unicorn. Another one of those people with that stupid New York accent they're trying to imitate. It's a rare unicorn. We want to sell it. We can make a bundle, he's pretty much saying. And then Presto whisper screams through the window for Uni to get out of there. But then something yanks him into the room. I didn't see what it was. Did you?
It was a really bad animated goblin?
Yeah, I wasn't sure what it was exactly. It was just like you saw him real quick and he yanked him into the room and pushed him into the table. Uni jumps into Presto's arms like a scene from the Bodyguard movie and complete with the face licking, of course, of love.
Ugh. It's a really bad animated goblin, essentially.
Yeah, yeah, okay. That's what I figured. The ogre says, is this your unicorn? And he says, yeah, why? The ogre offers up to make him a trade, says, I will give you these three marbles for the unicorn. Not magic marbles for the unicorn. Are we starting to see anything more here that's related to a certain fairy tale yet?
Yeah, we will here.
Yeah.
Real shortly.
Real short. You notice the ogre also has claws for one hand?
Yeah.
Or
like
metal.
He lost his original hand and it's got like a gauntlet claw thing on it.
If that's a gauntlet, he has some real thin fingers going on there. But yeah, I'm going to go with his claw hook or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Presto's like, no way! And Muni's like, yeah, no way!
Yeah.
It's not the clearest we've heard Uni say anything. Then the ogre's like, fine, we'll play this skull game. Which is basically that old New York street corner con man game when you find the ball under the cup. Except it's find the ball in the skull. If you win, you keep your money and double it. If you lose, you lose your bet. And he runs away. Because he cheated. Because he basically thumbed the ball. I'm sure you've seen that stupid game. Anyway, Presto, like, kind of agrees, but then he's like, what's at stake? And he's like, Presto, if he wins, he gets the marbles. If the ogre wins, he gets Uni. And Presto's like, no, no way! The ogre gets pissed and jumps up at his seat and says, what did you say? And Presto cowardly backs down and says, I said, let's go, let's get to it. Chicken. Even Uni's like, damn, dude, you sold me out. So they pick up a skull, they place the skull, the ball into the skull, and they mix it around like quicker, like, I don't know, as fast as possible. Presto's like, dice.
As fast as animation can make it.
Yeah, pretty much they just drew a bunch of skulls together. And it made it look like it was moving around. But Presto guesses it's the head on the right. But it's wrong.
The skull on the right.
That's right, yeah. He says it's the skull on the right. The guy's like, nope. It's in the head to the right. And he looks at it and he's like, hey, you guys cheated. There's nothing in here. And Yurga says, who said anything about the skull? I said it's in the head on the right.
And he spits the right head, like spits out the ball.
He goes, bleh, and the ball falls on the table. The ogre grabs Uni and Presto gets chucked out of the bar on his butt, just like the fuzzball who earlier got by tossed.
By poorly animated looking goblin.
I wonder if that same thing happened to the Sasquatch. He got tossed out because he lost too. Maybe. Then they tossed the marbles in. Yeah, kid, you can keep these marbles. They're worthless anyway. What? And then I wrote a little note here to myself. What's with all these baddies with these horrible sounding New York accents? Just awful. Because
I don't know.
Awful, right?
Awful.
Anyway, we cut to Presto wandering outside of town, bashing himself pretty much. Like, I'm an idiot, blah, blah, blah. I made everybody disappear. They're all gone. Maybe I should make myself disappear. And then he takes the marbles and throws them on the ground in a fit of rage.
Yep. And then...
guess what grows out of the ground? A giant stone-like tree.
Yes. Slash beanstalk. Petrified tree, basically.
Yeah.
Like, the marbles sink into the ground... and then, like, a petrified tree comes up with, like, a doorway in it.
Yeah, a doorway. Presto's like, oh, my God, it's, like, a mile high. And it mentions, this better not be what DM means to climb to new heights, because nothing's going to make me climb that. And we see Uni comes flying out of the bar, rounding the corner, which means he basically didn't get too far when he threw this, because he was, like, right there, according to the way it was all set up, right? Yes? Nick?
What was that?
I said he throws... Uni comes flying out of the bar and basically means he didn't get too far when he threw the marbles.
Right, yeah. It doesn't seem like he got very far away from the bar. It's like just like maybe right around the corner.
Yeah, something like that. And we hear a scream. Oh, I'm sorry. And then the ogre's chasing Uni, and they run into the tree together, and the little door closes behind them, and the orcs are just like, oh, the tree swallowed them. Oh.
Run away with my girly-looking legs.
Yeah. And then we cut to Uni and Presto.
Apparently he nares.
What's that?
Apparently the three-headed ogre uses nare.
That's a personal preference. Leave him alone. Now we cut to Presto and Uni inside the tree with steps before them. How convenient. We do hear a scream, which sounds to me like Tiamat at this point. I guess it's just reusing sounds, but whatever.
Right.
We see a shadow of something. At this point,
Thing.
Something. Something's amiss.
Is wrong.
Saturn
3.
The shadow looks like... the slime beast, kind of. I don't know. Just, I guess.
My slime beast named Willy.
Stupid accent. Anyway. And then we cut to a commercial.
And scene.
Then we come back from commercial. We see Presto and Uni climbing the stairs, like. Yeah. And then I think. Presto mentioned something about if they ever get back, he's never going to skip gym class ever again. After a bit of wondering, Presto thinks they should go back. As he turns around, the wall looks like the Evil Dead Necronomicon face and lights up and screeches at them. I was like, "Dah!"
I never got that from it, but yeah, okay.
It looked like the Necronomicon, you know, and it has that little face on it.
Yep.
From the Evil Demo. Yeah, it's whatever. That's where my mind went. Then we cut back to, he runs scared with Uni in his arms up the stairs. But
yeah.
We cut back to the castle where the group is hiding from the slime creature inside of a broom. the little bristles of the broom. They all come out and Eric makes a snarky comment about the creature wouldn't be able to find him in there. But then looks up and there's the creature like...
there's the slime beast, Willy.
And the group...
hanging onto the broom end, yeah.
The group heads to the window because Hank's like, go to the window, guys! So here's where we find out more about the slime creature. As the group is climbing up, the slime creature, who basically up until this point thought can only glide, can actually fly too.
Yeah, it can fly.
Swoops in and grabs Bobby. Diana and Hank come up with this amazing plan that Diana is going to throw the pole, her staff, at the thing. It's going to hit the creature, drop Bobby. And Hank is going to shoot him with an arrow so Bobby can glide down into a bucket of water.
Yeah.
I was like, what? Okay.
Yeah, where'd that bucket of water come from? Well, plot point.
Yeah, pretty much. Diana then uses her staff to knock the top of the giant lantern on the wall off to capture the creature inside of it. So it's kind of like a little cage for the creature. He's kind of stuck underneath it.
Mm-hmm.
The group seems happy as Eric says, "Phew, that was some battle," and leans back on the wall, but it's actually the stupid giant's face. He's like, "Boo!"
Yeah.
Eric falls, grabs a hold of the windowsill. The giant said, "Did I scare you, little brave man? You guys did get good." Nick, you do the voice a lot better than me.
Hey, what'd you do with my buddy Willie?
You did okay against Willie. Let's see how you do against me.
Yeah, pretty much.
He picks up Eric and grabs the group, but then the clock chimes and really like kicks the lid off the
giant kicks the lid off of the thing,
lets Willie free and says, "Another egg is ready to go. Go get it." Willie goes flying off. And then he says, "Yeah, go ahead."
I just love the part where the giant takes, he has this toy, I guess, and he puts Eric and Sheila on these little dragons that...
Oh, yeah, like, he said he's bored, so he wants them to entertain him for a while. I'm like, what have they been doing the whole time? Entertaining you, dude? I kind of equated those dragons to, like, Rock'em Sock'em type things.
Yeah, I did too.
And he puts the rest of the group in, a bowl. I was like, that's not going to hold them, dude. But as we see, it doesn't, because Bobby jumps out and comes to rescue Sheila. The giant gets a good laugh out of that. Oh,
hey, that's pretty funny.
And then Bobby bashes the toy in one shot. The giant's like, "Rah!
Hey, that was my favorite toy."
Hank does what Hank does best, shoots an arrow, cuts the curtain off the window. It falls on the giant's head while they escape down the broom again to the floor. The group runs as the giant stomps behind them, mumbling and growling stuff at him, at them.
Go Mets.
I thought it was Yankees.
He changed. He's now a Mets fan.
Yeah. Wishy-washy fan, huh? Fairweather fan. That's what they call him. Yeah.
Fairweather fan.
We cut back.
Oh, maybe he's from Jersey. No, sounds more New York.
He sounds more New York than anything else.
Yeah.
We cut back to Presto and Uni still walking up the steps and tired.
Yeah.
Here's where it gets beyond ridiculous that Nick was talking about, but we'll get to that in just a second. But they stop as they hear a noise and look out the window to see a baby yellow mustard dragon holding onto the limb and about to fall.
And I'm like, how the heck did he get out there?
I don't know.
You know?
I don't know. Anyway, Presto climbs out the window and attempt to rescue and save it. But, of course, Presto is Presto. He slips and falls.
And this is where...
it becomes dumb.
Dumb.
Yeah, he grabs onto the branch and it starts to break. He notices it. Uni notices it. Uni comes out and he's like, "No, Uni, get back. It's going to break." But Uni's like... what that noise is. And then she grabs his hat and mumbles something in her mouth. And the spell comes out and works. And we get a flying carpet.
Flying carpet. She's like...
Uni, who can't even speak clearly with nothing in her mouth, now with something in her mouth, is able to get a spell off better than Presto ever could.
Yeah, that's where I'm like... What?
Is this the jump the shark moment?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, I think we jumped the shark in episode like one.
At least for the first season. I think they start to redeem themselves in season two in some ways.
No. Okay. Then all of a sudden we hear a noise and we see it's a giant lizard climbing up the steps, and Presto basically is just like, "I'm out of here," and tosses the baby and runs.
Well, I knew immediately when I saw it, like, that's a gold dragon, dude.
Yeah. He basically just tosses the baby on its butt, and he's like, "I'm out of here. Have mama." The dragon breathes fire up the steps as they run. Even if it is a gold dragon, the dragon's responding appropriately at this point, because, hey.
Of course.
You took my baby.
Leave my child alone.
Yeah. We next finally show that they are at the top, and they leave the tree. They hop over on the platform, which now, basically, where I got the assumption this was a cloud giant, because they're up in the clouds. But, you know. Why not? No? Doesn't work?
Well, hold on a second. I'm looking at it here.
Yeah.
And, yeah, okay, Willie, the slime beast. Well, they're not really in the clouds. No, they're on land.
Are they?
But who knows? Who cares?
But I thought that thing was up in the sky in the clouds.
Well, yeah, kind of, sort of. But they're not on clouds. They're on land. Like, they're just really high up and like...
I'm a cloud giant. Leave me alone. I'm a Mets fan one season, a Yankees fan the other. Leave me alone, okay?
Okay, then.
The dragon follows them out as Presto trips over Uni again.
Wah-wah.
And they believe their time is up. The dragon spits some fire at them, comes over, looks like he is about to chomp on them, and then notices that the slime beast is swooping in and grabbing the egg, the golden egg, flying back to the castle. And Presto says, well, that must be what DM meant about enormous danger, as he's pointing to the giant, enormous castle, which he remarks by saying, that's giant!
Whoa!
Just as they talk more about it, they hear Eric scream. Presto runs off with Uni saying he knows that panic scream anywhere.
Yes.
We cut back to the group running as the slime beast flies in and gives the giant his egg. And the giant says,
as a reward, you can have the little ones.
Didn't he fail at that to begin with? I mean...
Hank
then yells to Eric, who is cowering at this point behind his shield, come on, that slime thing is after us again. And Eric is like, what are they, tag team chasing us now? He still has time to make a joke, right?
Well, if you're going to die, go down laughing, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much. Presto comes from around the corner of the one of the walls, and he sees the group running away from the creature and decides to cast a twiddle.
Yeah.
I'm going to call it twiddle from now on, ever since that DM.
Yeah.
Okay, so he says, Alakazims, Alakazam, give me a spell to get them out of their jam. Nothing seems to happen for a few moments as the hat lights up. And then he says, maybe my fingers aren't loaded. And then like a blast of white light shoots out, almost takes his head off at this point.
Yeah. That would have been hilarious.
Yeah, right? Ricochets off the wall and hits the creature and puts him in a cage hanging on the ceiling.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, hey.
He did it.
That's useful.
And that is a point, right?
Is a point.
So far, he's been doing pretty well. I mean, he's been spot on.
Yeah, he's got 21 so far.
Oh, wow. The group has a happy reunion. But then they realize the giant's still there, so they run. While running, Presto stops and says, hey, wait, we forgot the egg. Eric snaps, there's no time to be thinking about breakfast. Presto's like, no, it's the golden egg. We need to get it back to its mother. At this point, they're hiding under what looks like a dresser, I'm thinking, or a hallway something or other, or a table. And you see the giant peering at the bottom, looking at it with his hand on the ground. And the egg is like just, I didn't get this. Why would he have the golden egg in his hand on the ground so Presto could run up and just basically like, thank you, and run away and toss it to Eric?
Because it's convenient to the plot.
Oh. Okay.
What else do you need to know?
I don't know. As they're running, the egg starts to hatch, and a baby pops out, jumping into Eric's arms, licking him, and he's like, hey, I'm not your dada.
I'm not dada.
I'm not your dada.
Who's your daddy? Oh, wait a minute.
Hey.
Hey.
Now. The group runs towards the tree and into the tree where the giant can't fit because of his big stupid head doesn't fit in there. Well, the rest of them too, but it's just funny watching his big head try to fit in there. And then we see the mama dragon show up. And the group jumps on guard, but the mother grabs Eric and the baby and starts licking the baby and then gives Eric a big old kiss. And the group's like, hey, wait, she's friendly. She didn't need anybody.
Yeah, it's a gold dragon. Duh, yeah. If you read your monster manual, you'd know that.
Exactly. The group, well, they don't have, never mind. The group runs to the bottom and then realizes there's no way out. So Bobby does what Bobby does best, which is?
Bash a way through.
Yeah, Bobby smash. They get out.
Yeah, the group's version of the Hulk.
Yeah. Or the Thing, you mean.
That too.
Yeah. The group comes out and they see the giant climbing down.
I'm going to get you guys.
Hey, you come back here with my bread willy.
Yeah. Presto then says, don't worry, guys. I've got this twiddle thing down cold, I think.
And Hank's like, watch out.
No. They all plead to him to stop. And they're like, no, no, no. And he's just like, and this is why I was really surprised that the censors allowed this because of the way it was worded. I'll fiddle with my twiddle and diddle with the middle and make a magic riddle that will turn the giant little. I was just thinking that. I'm like, that was a little, for 1983?
Maybe.
I don't know. Eric.
He said it kind of fast.
Yeah, true. Eric hides behind his shield and says, oh, great. Now he's doing nursery rhymes.
He diddled his middle.
And dun, 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 dun. It worked.
It worked.
It zaps the giant, and he falls with the tree going away, and everything is gone.
Yeah, like the this blast of, like, what, kind of orangey kind of light.
Yeah.
Just kind of circles around the petrified tree, and the giant, like, falls and disappears.
Into the ground with the petrified tree, which now becomes a nest for the...
Old dragon.
The old dragon. That was some real fancy finger work, Presto, Hank says. And then Dungeon Master shows up and says, your spells are improving, wizard. Does that mean he kind of leveled up, or...
Maybe. I think he leveled. He's now level 2.
He's level 1 because he was level 0 before. And then Eric's like, improving? It was his stupid twiddling that got us in trouble in the first place.
That's what usually does it.
Yeah. Hey. And Dungeon Master says, your trouble worked for a good cause. And they saved the last... because they saved the last of the golden dragons. As we find out, this is a good type of dragon. And, of course, Eric has to have his one remark in here that says, the only good dragon is But the dragon picks him up and puts him in the nest. And he huffs.
He's like, a golden dragon.
Yeah. The only good dragon is a golden dragon. I wanted to say the only good dragon is a dead dragon. Like, a, you know, Starship Troopers. But yeah, never mind. The baby dragon starts licking him on the face. And what are you going to say now, Dada?
Yeah, that's what Hank says.
Everybody.
And big chuckle. Ha ha.
The traditional 80s cartoon laugh at the end, because you notice every cartoon in the 80s always laugh with them laughing or smiling.
Yes. Ha 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 ha. Wasn't that funny, old friend?
The creepy laughs with their shoulders going up and down. Side note, second episode, no Avenger.
Yeah.
At all.
None. Niente.
So what'd you think?
I'm kinda... This episode...
is mad.
Like I said, this felt like, you know, we're getting the end of season one here. We need to think of something.
Yeah.
It seemed kinda rushed.
Yeah.
It wasn't much of a plot. They borrowed from Grimm's Fairy Tales, Jack and the Giant Beanstalk. But... We've seen that trope used before in D&D. Have we not? Something very similar?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. Land Beyond the Magic Mirror, Dungeon Land, which is Alice in Wonderland, basically, converted to D&D. So I guess something that's similar, right?
Yeah. How would we use this? I couldn't even honestly think of how to start to use this as an adventure other than... maybe start some rumors about gold dragons going extinct, and you had to go, maybe this giant is holding the last one captive, and you have to rescue him, but you have to figure out how to get to him because he's up in the sky, things like that.
Yeah, I wouldn't even use the whole marbles thing.
You really can't, I was kind of dependent on Presto being dumb, so.
Yeah. But, I mean, the whole idea of, like, using a fairy tale as an actual D&D adventure, I mean, yeah, you could do it. I mean, yeah, like I mentioned, those two modules, the Dungeon Land and Land Beyond the Magic Mirror. But I guess you could kind of do something similar with Jack and the Giant Beanstalk?
Yeah, I don't really know how you would get the players involved with this whole thing. I mean...
I don't know. I guess the whole premise, like you said, like, maybe there was, you know, the good dragons are all gone, except maybe there's, like you said, there's a rumor that there's a gold dragon left, but it's been captured by the
New York Giants?
The king of the Giants.
The New York Giants?
There you go. That's why he has a New York accent. He's a New York Giant.
That's right.
Slime monster, Willie.
What a stupid name for him.
Willie.
That's all I
can
say.
Got a slimy Willie.
So that ends season one of the Dungeons & Dragons cartoon.
Yeah.
I would say this was definitely not a 7.5 out of 10 episode. Like Nick said, this felt like a throw-together episode that they didn't know what they were doing.
Hell, there was no Avenger in it.
Yeah, I don't know what the... I would love to get a hold of the writers of this and just ask them what they were thinking at the time. I mean, I know it was 30-something years ago, but still. I mean, Buzz... When I talked to Buzz, he was pretty much spot on with his memory of the episode that he did. So they might remember. And Buzz has written like tons of stuff. So
I don't know. I still think it was like at the point, it's like, we need an idea. Oh, you know what? I read Jack and the Giant and the Beanstalk last night to my kid. They're like, okay, let's run with that.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
All right.
We'll give him a New York accent, the Giant. He's the New York Giant.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, so I guess that's going to wrap the episode up. RFIstaff@gmail.com, facebook.com/RFIpodcast. Head over and join us on our Discord server. We have our own. We've had it for quite a while. It's actually been jumping around lately with people chatting around ever since the announcement of the death of G+. So more people are heading over to things like that. And yeah, why not join the people there? Everybody's having fun, and why not, while you're there, talk to the host, check out Save or Die Podcast or Thacko's Hammer. They've been delivering episodes left and right, so join in the fun. Say hi, you know, right?
Come on down.
Join us next time for the next episode. Keep it original, keep it old school, and good night.
Hey, everybody.
Roll for initiative.